Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Amen. Thank you. Awesome. That's awesome. I love how you can flow from one to the other. That's awesome. Beautiful. Thank you, worship team. That's great. Amen. We want to have a moment of prayer for Barb Kramen. She's up north. Went with Donna Hansen to help Donna have the memorial service up north for her husband. And she had to go to the emergency room yesterday, I think it was, with chest pains. So she's getting all checked out, and we want to pray for her right now. And she said she'll be watching online, so I want you all to just lift your voice right now and just pray for Barb Kramen right now. For God, we just thank you for your healing virtue. We thank you for your promise. You are our healer. We thank you, God. Sometimes you use doctors and sometimes you use medicine, but you are the healer. You are the one we look to. You are our confidence, God. We are not afraid. We look to you. We trust you. We thank you. We claim healing and victory in Barb Kramen's life right now to the glory of God for another glorious testimony of your healing and your deliverance. And we all agree in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Many of you came to the Fourth Watch service, and this hasn't been erased or anything yet. There's a lot of wonderful comments, and you were listening to the Lord and different things that people wrote up here. And if you'd like, you can take a picture of that and go look at it later if you like or whatever. But I've looked over them, and it's just a lot of wonderful things there that we believe that the Lord is just speaking to his people. God is talking, and we need to be listening. And that's what the whole Fourth Watch service was about. And I just wonder if somebody here tonight has a brief testimony about Fourth Watch and your time here with the Lord that you'd like to share. Is anybody in particular? You don't have to stand up here in the front. I'll bring a microphone to you. You're all the way in the back, though, Arlene. You'll have to come up front. Okay. Okay. Amen.
Okay. Amen. I bless God for the Fourth Watch on Monday morning. It's always exciting to come into the house of the Lord to see what he's going to do and what he has to say. So I get excited about it, and I was looking at all the things on the board, and what the Lord had given me, my little saying is down there that say, "Fear not." I was reading, and this was in the book of Genesis. It said, "Fear not, for we are in the place of God." Mm. And that hit me with such, because usually when we invite people over, we say, "Come to my place. Come to my house." But if we are in God's place, why should we have fear? In fact, I got so excited. I called my sister. I said, "Whatever's going on, fear not." That was the word for me. Amen. I said, because if you're in God's place, there is no fear. Amen. And I've just been excited. We have a few things that's coming up this month relating to things that's going on with us. But I believe that was the word that God gave me.
Amen.
Fear not.
Amen.
Because I'm in his house.
I agree. No fear. Absolutely no fear. And Arlene?
Well, hi, I'm Arlene. Mm-hmm. The morning before, the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m., and I was wide awake until 4:10. I'm like, "Lord, aren't you a day early?" Okay. He's like, "I'm getting you ready." Okay, and then you challenged us, "Don't set the alarm clock." I wish you hadn't done that. Because I went to bed at 9:30 like a good girl. I was awake at 12. I was awake at 1. I was awake at 2. I was awake at 3. I'm like, for the love of God, I guess I'm not going to be able to sleep, so I might as well go. All right, I really had nothing. I came in here. I laid down with a towel. I was so delirious with exhaustion, and I was like, Lord, I've got nothing. I'm just burnt out, tapped out. So I just laid there, and it was just good to be here. And then one of the beautiful sisters here came by and gave me a little tuck in. She kind of like tucked my towel in, because, and I just broke down bawling like a baby. Because it was such a loving, tender, caring touch. And I can't even tell you the waves and waves and waves of love. And then I said, okay, it's okay, it's okay. And I composed myself, and then I went, I thought about it some more. I'm like, no, I'm going to cry some more.
Awesome.
So it was a great night. Awesome. It's a great night, great awesome. Night. And then there was more after that. Like, one of the sisters came by and said to me, you know, I got a word. She said, it is, it's not yours to fix. You're not to fix it. And you're not qualified for the position. And I'm like, yeah, I'll own that. So I just want to say I came away not expecting. I came to give, and I instead received.
Amen.
Yeah,
well,
so
good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
thank
amen.
You for sharing.
Amen, okay. Amen, amen.
Is it Pamela? I saw your hand up. Was it you? No? Somebody else had their hand raised? Josie? Okay.
I didn't mind write down, but I just wanted to confirm what Ms.
Here, so everybody can hear you.
I just wanted to confirm what Ms. Lee said.
Uh-huh.
I kept getting fear not, and then I was, you know, God said there's one for every day. So when I looked, there's 365 for a day. So I said, so every day he tells us fear not, every day.
Amen.
So every day I wake up loud, God, thank you. And I'm not going to fear it.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. All right.
Somebody?
Ms. Paula.
Yes, Paula.
I do have to say this.
Okay.
That 3 hours was so quick. And you say, okay, you know, 3 hours is nothing. But there was such a presence of God in this place. Mm-hmm. Such a peace. Now, being an administrative person, you know, I look at things, I see, I make note of things that I don't even want to even notice, but it was a time of complete freedom for me, which was truly a joy. And the Lord really ministered to me, setting me free on some deeper levels of, you know, that pleasing man, mm-hmm. and just being set free and just having such a firm foundation. The word that he gave me was that we would be established. Hmm. That firm foundation of resting in him and keeping our eyes on him.
Amen. Thank you so much. Awesome.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Well, I want to share with you tonight, I'm going to deviate from Proverbs, and I want to share with you some of what the Lord shared with me, and I'm excited about this. And the first thing the Lord, I feel like the Lord brought to my attention is after a while, was Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. And he really focused on, to me, the not want part. You shall not want. And I believe that I wrote down in red ink on my journal that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, he's got you. Mm-hmm. Let go. Rest in him. He's heard all your prayers. Because sometimes after we pray, we can still be anxious about something because we're not seeing anything change. And this was a reassurance. God said, look, I'm the shepherd. You shall not want. So I don't want you to be in want. Now, after that, this came real clear. It came sometime later on. Scripture came to my mind, Zechariah 4:6. I'd like you to say it out loud with me. Not by, come on, that's really weak. Everybody, use your mouth, okay? Let's all say this together. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. Not by might, Can you? Are you having trouble up there with PowerPoint? Huh? Oh. Well, we just bind that demon of difficulty in the name of Jesus and say, let go of the PowerPoint now in this place in Jesus' name, and help Jenny. She's doing all she can do, and we need help. So thank you, God, you're our helper. Well, anyway, it's I meant for you to, if you didn't know it, to quote it. So that's why I wanted you to, that's why you were so weak. Okay. And you are familiar with that scripture. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And this is what the Lord just brought to my attention, real, real clear. And so I asked the Lord, I said, why do I sometimes personally have such a hard time trusting you and entering into your rest? And he said, it's unbelief that keeps people bound. Unbelief is the fear that I'm not going to do what I promised. Fear that I'm not with you. You know, sometimes we look for a feeling and so forth, and those things can be inspired by fear. Then he told me, I want you to read Zechariah 4 real slow. So I hope that this will come up here quickly so you can see it. Here it is. And he started right here in verse 1. The angel woke me up like a man roused from his sleep. And he said, what do you see? How many of you did what I asked you Sunday night to not set an alarm and you asked the Lord to wake you up? Did he wake you up? It's not like Arlie where you woke up every hour to make sure he's going to wake you up. Are you going to wake me up, God? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, that's interesting because that just really, you know, confirms to me that God wanted you here. It was a sacrifice of sleep. I don't like getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I got up at 2 o'clock so I can make sure I'm here and had everything in order, and it was a sacrifice of sleep. But it seemed like to me that every time we honor God, not that we can sacrifice our way to heaven or anything like that or get things from God, but every time we honor God by giving him something, it seems like to me that he honors us in return with much more. You can't outgive God. And so I just thought it was interesting that here I am at 3 o'clock in the morning, a little bit after, and the Lord shows me this verse about an angel coming, waking you up, rousing you from your sleep. And he says, what do you see? So I took that as personal, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to see? And again, the Spirit just confirmed, I want you to read Zechariah 4, but read it real slow. So I started reading, and here we look down in verse 3. He says, Zechariah the prophet says, I see a solid gold lampstand and a bowl at its top with 7 lights on it and 7 pipes on it for each lamp to light them. There were 2 olive trees next to the bowl, one on the right and one on the left. So there's a 7-branch golden lampstand. We would say that's a menorah. Gold represents divinity, so it's obviously of God. And it's being fueled by 2 olive trees that have golden pipes coming from the olive trees going to the bowl. And the bowl's full of gold oil, and at the bottom of the bowl are pipes, 7 pipes coming out of this golden bowl into the branch, the 7-fold branch of the menorah or the lampstand. And we know in Scripture that the golden lampstand represents the church. Who is the church? Us, you and me. So you could say it's each individual believer. So God was, he's speaking to us here through this picture that you can see on the screen, if you can bring that back up there, let people have a chance to look at that. If you haven't read Zechariah 4, That's the image. And there's two olive trees, one on the right and one on the left. That's the source of the oil. The two olive trees are the source. The golden bowl is just the container, and it's above the lampstand. It's all symbolic picture of how God works and how God's way of working in the church and in us. He wants us to be fueled not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God is wanting us to learn how to let him lead. The golden oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. And Billy Graham said many years ago, he said that most of the church does not know how to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if the Holy Spirit left the church wouldn't even know it for several years. Because they got their programs and they're doing things according to man's strength and power. And he's probably right about that. But not about this church. We're learning to be led by the Spirit.
Thank you.
We're learning to let God lead us. So, where have you heard about this seven-branch golden candlestick lately? I hear some mumbling. Hope it's not grumbling. Yeah. Yeah, you've heard it the last two Sundays. Last week, you heard about it in Revelation chapter 1. And the week prior to that, you heard about it in Revelation chapter 4. You see it. There it is, the seven-branch golden candlestick, which Scripture in Revelation says are the seven spirits of God. Now, let's try to make sure we clarify what this is. In Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 1, the seven spirits of God. God is one. Seven is a number of fullness or completion or perfection. And so it's a symbol for us to realize that God is fully complete in himself. He's lacking nothing. He doesn't need the addition of anything. He doesn't even need our help to do anything. So God is complete in himself, and it mentions the sevenfold spirit of God. And it mentions it several times in Scripture. And in Isaiah chapter 11 is a prophecy of the Messiah who is going to come. This was hundreds of years before Christ came to earth. And the prophecy in Isaiah 11 tells us about what these specific seven spirits of God are. It lists them. It names them. And you could mark that in your Bible, which I'd recommend you do, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. It says that the Spirit of the Lord, that's one spirit, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Messiah. That's how you're going to know him. He's going to have the Spirit of the Lord. He's going to have the Spirit of wisdom. He's going to have the Spirit of understanding. He's going to have the Spirit of counsel. He's going to have the Spirit of knowledge. He's going to have the Spirit of might and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The sevenfold Spirit of God, the complete fullness of God is represented by these sevenfold spirits. And so what God is wanting us to understand is he wants his church to be fueled by his Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom. Everybody's supposed to have this. This is available to everybody. The Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of might, the fear of the Lord. All of those things are what God is. That's his Spirit. And this is available to all of us. We're to be fueled by his Spirit. The sevenfold Spirit of God. There it is, clearly laid out in Isaiah 11. And then Zechariah, who was the prophet here, hearing from this angel who showed him this, Zechariah asked the angel, "What are these, my Lord?" He's talking about on both sides of what is all this? What he's talking about the two olive trees. He's talking about the golden bowl. He's talking about the pipes. He's talking about the seven-branch candlestick. What are these, my Lord? And the angel responds, do you really not know what these are? Implying you should know. You should know. You mean you don't really know? He should have known. In the same way, the church needs to know. What's our source? Where's our power come from? Is it our organizational ability? Is it our plan that we have on paper? Is it the vision that the pastor has and comes up with? Is it our plans? Is it our number of people? Is it the number of how much money we have in the bank? It's not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is how God gets things done. This is God's choice. And so now we look at this, and this is what the Lord was showing me on Monday morning. And that's what I'm showing you now. He's speaking the same thing to us. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, let's make it personal. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now put your name in there. This is the word of the Lord to Gary. This is the word of the Lord to Joe. This is the word of the Lord to Gail. This is the word of the Lord. This is what God intends for you. He intends for you to take this scripture and put your name in it, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That means the Lord of everything, the Lord of the universe. And so Zerubbabel is a weird name, but he was a person. He was a Jewish man who was born in Babylon when Israel was taken captive to Babylon and lived there. He grew up there. So he was living in captivity. He's the grandson to the second to the last king of Judah. He's in the lineage of David. And he was given a mission by God to bring some of the Jews back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple that had been torn down. And so, a course of events, Babylon was the world empire while he was growing up, but eventually Persia came and knocked Babylon off the throne, and Persia became the world empire. And a man by the name of Cyrus, King Cyrus, had favor upon the Jews. He had compassion for them. And he allowed Zerubbabel and a large group of people to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls. And so we'll rebuild the temple primarily. And so it's interesting that Zerubbabel actually means offspring of Babylon. Now, why is that significant? Offspring of Babylon. Because Babylon represents the world. It represents the world's way of doing things. They had their own money, their own currency, their own religion. And it represents the world being dominated by man without God. And so his name was a Babylonian name. He certainly had a Jewish name. But he grew up in Babylon. He had a Babylonian name, and that's what his name meant. You're the offspring of the world. You've learned the ways of the world. You know the ways of the world. But I don't operate according to the ways of the world, God says. I operate in a different way. And I want you, this offspring of the world, as he's speaking through Zechariah the prophet to him, was a word that God gave Zerubbabel. The work that I've called you to do cannot be done the world's way. Are you hearing? The work that God has for you to do cannot be done the way the world does it. I don't know what that is for you, but that's a word for somebody. The assignment that God has on your life cannot be accomplished the world's way. So God is saying to us through this vision of this golden, these trees, olive trees, and the bowl and the pipes going down, fueling the lampstand, which represents us, the church. God is saying, this is how I work in humans and in the church. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. This is how I want my church to operate. So, Zerubbabel actually went under the king's permission and orders and went back to Jerusalem to restart rebuilding the temple. Then he met with opposition. There were some Gentiles there that started to stop the work that they had begun. And so the prophet says this, hang in there with me. The prophet continues to prophesy this word for Zerubbabel and for us and any obstacles that are hindering us from moving forward to the assignment that God has given us. And here's what he says. The prophet said to Zerubbabel, "Who are you, O great opposition or great mountain, before Zerubbabel?" Now you ought to put your name in there. "Who are you, O great opposition or mountain, before Gary, before Joe, before Lee or Lane? Who are you? Who do you think you are standing before someone who has an assignment from God on their life?" Are you listening? And then he says, "You will be level ground." That's a decree. That's speaking to the mountain. That's speaking to the obstacle. That's speaking to the whatever the thing it is in your life that's hindering you, the sickness, the disease, the lack of supplies, the lack of money, whatever it is. Whatever is hindering you from what God has told you or promised you, this is you speaking back to it. Amen. "You shall be level ground." You're a mountain, but you're coming down. And he, or you put your name in, Gary, will bring out the finishing stone or the top stone amidst the shouting of what? Grace. Not just one time, but why? Grace. Grace. Wonder why he said it twice. God doesn't mince words. He doesn't just use random words. Grace, grace to the stone. In other words, two times God says, you're going to finish what I have begun in you. The assignment on your life, you're going to be there to see the completion of it. You're not just coming in and starting something. You're going to be the one that puts the capstone on the end and say, "Hey, we're done." And it's going to be done by grace, grace. Are you listening? Does this sound familiar to what Jesus said in the New Testament? When he said, "Speak to the fig tree." When he spoke to the fig tree, in other words, Jesus said these words, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." Are you understanding? Jesus told us to do this. We have mountains of opposition. Anytime that God has a calling on your life and an assignment on your life, you have demons that are assigned from the enemy to try to hinder you and stop you. You should expect opposition and not be surprised when it just shows up. Amen? So you're going to have to learn to do something. It's not, "Oh, God, take away this trouble. Oh, God, stop this problem." No, God expects you to partner with him and utilize what he's given you, the power of his spirit, so that you will rise up and speak to that opposition. You rise up. Don't pray to God to rise up and do it. He's expecting you to do it. He's empowered you. You're the lampstand that has plenty of oil. There's no lack of supply. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," Zechariah 4:9, "the hands of Zerubbabel have established the foundation, and they will complete it." I think of New Testament, "He that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." When God starts something, he finishes it. Are you with me? And notice this. And then he says, "I ask a second time." This is Zechariah the prophet getting this word. "I ask a second time, Lord, what are these two branches of the olive trees?" What are these two branches of the olive trees next to the two golden pipes which they pour out the gold oil? Well, obviously, there are two sources. There are two sources. That's where the oil's coming from. Man didn't make this oil. They're coming from two sources. And he asked me, the angel says, again, do you not know what these are? In other words, you should know this. You mean you don't know? You don't have any idea who these are? And obviously, my opinion, it is Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the two anointed ones. Let me show you what I'm talking about. The word anointing or anoint is used in 1 John chapter 2, I think verse 25, for the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing, New Testament. Scripture says you have the anointing in you already. You don't have to pray for to be anointed. You have the anointing. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And that's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The anointing is called the Holy Spirit. And the word Christ, Jesus Christ, is not Jesus' last name. It's not his last name. The word Christ is a title. And it literally means the anointed one. So, the anointing or the source by which God is going to fuel the church and fuel us are the two anointed ones. There's two olive trees. There's two times he said you're going to rise up and speak grace, grace to it. I say to you that the two anointed ones are the two anointed ones, the word says, and the anointed ones are Jesus, the anointed, and his Holy Spirit. That's to be our source of power. That's where we get this golden oil coming into the bowl above us, and that we can look to and expect, and it comes down through golden pipes from God, God's pipeline to us. And it comes down into us and it lights us up so we can have the light of God in this world. The very anointing that we have is the light of God. People ought to be able to see the light of God in us. They ought to be able to feel the love of God in us. And they ought to be able to experience the life of God in us. And it comes only by His Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And that is what's to fuel us. That's what is to keep us strong in the Lord, is our dependence upon the Lord. So I asked the Lord a couple questions, and I just want to share with you briefly a couple things here. I said to the Lord, after he started showing me this, I said, Lord, where am I missing you and not allowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit to fuel me? And then he said to me something I've heard several times in the last few months. He said, slow down. Wait and listen for me. I will shepherd and lead you. And that's one of the things I wrote down over here. In the beginning of our evening was I wrote down, slow down. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, James 1:19. That's something I've heard over and over again. So he reiterated that to me Monday morning. He said, I want you to slow down. I said, where am I missing you? And he says, you've got to slow down. You're going too fast. I suspect he's probably telling some of you the same thing. You're going too fast. You don't feel like you're in a hurry, but you're going too fast for God. So you can't hear him. You can't see what he's trying to show you. And then I said, Lord, I ask from this day forward that you show me how to receive your anointing from Jesus and the Holy Spirit to fill me. Let me see the difference in your oil, your leading, your provision. Let me live without limitation and without unbelief in me. And just a couple other things. I said, will you please teach me? And immediately at that moment, we had some instrumental music Brian had playing in the background. And immediately, just instrumental music, I recognized the song. After I asked that question, will you please teach me? You alone are my strength and shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. So let me know the difference between by being connected to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that golden pipeline. And then I asked the Lord this question. This is my dialogue. I listen and he talks back. I don't hear an audible voice, but I just hear the Spirit and I write it down. You can do the same thing. I said, Lord, what is it that I need to stop doing or undo or start doing so I can be connected and fueled by the oil of Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Immediately, he said, you are connected, but you don't always allow the oil, my oil, to flow. My oil travels slow. So slow down and wait for my oil to come and to flow. Don't force anything. Wait. Trust. Rest. And then this word for you. God wants his church powered by his Holy Spirit. He made that clear. He wants his people to yield and allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit to live in and through them and to lead and direct them. They have to be taught. And then last but not least, I saw myself standing before the Lord with my hands cupped like this. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit were pouring golden oil like honey. It flows slow like honey. Not like olive oil, runs like water almost, but it flows much slower, like real thick honey. And I had my hands cupped, and I saw Jesus and the Holy Spirit pouring golden oil in my hands, and it was overflowing because I couldn't contain it all. It's more than you can contain. You won't be able to contain it all. It is abundant. And I wondered why I didn't allow this to happen before. And at one point I asked God for more oil, and he said, there's no lack of supply. There's only a lack of receiving. He said, the pipes get clogged up. It's not really the pipes, we get clogged up. The pipes are from God, they're not clogged up. But it was my understanding that there's something on our part that hinders us from receiving. And he gave me some ideas about what that is, but that's for another time. Thank you, Lord. Excellent. May we stand. Excellent. And now, Father, may you help us to go forward this day, not by might nor by power, but fueled by your Spirit. You have more than enough. You don't need us. And so much of the time, we probably get in your way, but I'm asking you to help each and every one of us learn and to be taught by your Spirit how to let you lead and depend upon the oil, the anointing that comes from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now notice when I raised my hands up, I got those two pipelines. One to Jesus on the right and then right on the left. So I've got my pipes opened. So when you worship God on Sunday or when it, just lift your hands up. Just see yourself being open to the anointing. Now God can pour it in you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank him. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. Thank him for the word he's spoken to you tonight. Thank him for the things he's showing you. Thank him. Just thank him for never giving up on you. Thank you, God. We just thank you, God. More of your flow, God. Less of our go. More of your flow. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Good night. Looking forward to Sunday. It's going to be awesome. We'll see you then. Good night.